1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Suzanne, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks, Suzanne. You contacted us over a sandwich board on the streets of Dublin. I'm sure there are in other cities and towns as well, but you are sick, sore and tired of them. Why?
I am. I read with interest that Dublin City Council are proposing to regulate them and maybe charge a fee for businesses to have them on the street.
Yeah.
But I personally would love to remove them totally. I just think they're a total nuisance. I think their footpaths are very narrow. They're very busy. We've no space for anyone to move around. We already have electricity boxes, bins, you know, poles and signposts. We're tripping over ourselves. And then the sandwich boards are just, you know, the final straw in my view.
And do you notice them, Susan, as you walk around the city?
I do. Like, they're all over the place. You can't get through them. They're such a bugbear of mine, actually. About 6 months or a year ago, I took pictures of loads of them, hundreds of them all around the place.
Okay.
And I actually tweeted them to Dublin City Council saying, do any of these have planning permission? Now, they didn't get back to me, but I kind of assume they don't. So they're, and I know other people feel the same way. Obviously, I'm able-bodied. I can get around them. But, you know, people who are visually impaired, wheelchair users, people with buggies, we've workers, our tourist numbers are at record levels. So I just think we're all cramped into a tiny space, tripping over these things, and I'm just not convinced they add to the city at all.
Okay, say this, Suzanne. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Kieran Hogan. Kieran, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You have a sandwich board outside your premises.
I do indeed.
And are you going to pay for it? 630 quid, is it?
No, I'm not going to pay for it. You know, I think a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses are in the same position where they can't pay for it. It's another charge coming in that is going to be, you know, very difficult to handle for, especially the small Dublin-based businesses who don't have, you know, brand recognition and who don't have any other, you know, large advertising and marketing campaigns going for them. Their signs are a huge part of what brings in traffic, and it's vital that a lot of businesses do have them.
And what do you think of Suzanne's point about clutter, safety, buggies, visually impaired people, a chicane of sandwich boards on every street now in the city centre? The footpaths are narrow enough as it is. You've got so many. Well, Dublin City Council are responsible for all those unnecessary poles and speed limit marks and don't turn left. I know they're needed, but they could all be on the one pole. There's about 17 different bus companies and they all seem to want to have a separate bus stop. But Suzanne says the sandwich boards, which are of a certain size,
yes, they are
an impediment.
Look, there is some merit to it, and I absolutely agree. There should be some you know, care taken and regulation as to the clutter on the. And on certain streets, you could say, look, guys, it's just not going to work to have 10 sandwich boards across. But a blanket charge just going across every business is just ridiculous. The streets of a city are cluttered. They're cluttered with people. They're cluttered with bikes, railings, signposts, everything that's going to be there anyway. And the sandwich boards, they're another part of it. If they're in the right place, they're not, you know, in the way, they're not awkward to get around.
But Kieran,
it's a part of the city.
How do you know they make a difference to your business?
Every day, every single day, I have someone come up. We have a doorway, right? Literally just a doorway, about a metre across.
Mm-hmm.
No signage outside other than that, other than our little sign there. And every day people come up to me and they say, I saw your sign and I'm really interested, so tell me about the place. And if we lose that, we're losing, it could be a third of our business, a half. I don't know how it's really going to affect us. But I know that people are coming in specifically because of that sign. And it is vital to us. Now, we have outside our doorway, I measured about 4 or 5 metres of pavement space. There is plenty of space for 10 people to walk abreast, plus a sign, plus a bike railing, and there'd be no issue. And so, you know, in certain cases, I can see where... Look,
hang on, Kieran.
Probably 10 abreast. Sorry, probably 4 or 5 people. I don't know how many.
No, 10 abreast is the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Okay, 10 abreast was maybe a bit exaggeration, but I don't know how many people could walk across there and our sign would fit in there very comfortably. But more than the traffic flow of the street has had before. Like, I haven't really seen...
Would it put you out of business, Kieran? Would that one third make a difference? I presume it would, but I don't...
I mean, yeah, we'd have to let go of staff. We'd have to scale back. Like, you know, I was hoping in this year to maybe get a second premises. And it's just that's just out of the window completely if this goes through. Because if we get the hit that
and
I'm expecting...
And by the way, sorry, Kieran, what have you found out about it? Is the regulation coming into force, yes or no? Who decided on it?
Yeah, so we got a letter in there a little while ago. I think I sent it into your email. And it basically says the planning boards have decided to implement this...
Dublin City Council.
Licensing on all street structures and this sort of thing. So you'll have to get a fee, you'll have to get a license, and it comes into effect 1st of September, and anything on the street after that will be taken away. And, you know, I was a little bit confused, shocked about this.
Okay.
So the first thing I did, I called up Dublin City Council, and I said, hey, look, guys, what's this about? Like, you know, we need our sign, we have only a doorway, there must be someone I can talk to. And I got back, basically, they said... yeah, look, write an email into us. And I said, okay, well, who reads that email? You know, who made this decision?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they said, okay, look, it was made by the committee. There's some committee there, so I can't give you the name. I said, okay, well, you know, can I be put in touch with the committee?
Yeah.
And they said, no, the committee have disbanded for the summer. They're, you know, the committee ends and they'll regroup sometime after September. And you can write to the next committee.
But the charge has been in, you say the charge is coming in 3 weeks.
The charge is coming in 3 weeks and all the signs are going to be, you know, taken away, just picked up and taken away by the city council if they say this is an unlicensed thing.
And by the way, if you just pay your money, can you leave the sign there?
No.
What are the other hurdles?
From what I understand, I haven't dug into it.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
know entirely, and I'd love the Dublin City Council. I'd love someone there to get in touch with me and confirm what I've heard. But from what I understand, you'd have to get some sort of surveyor or architect out to survey the street and to kind of say, yeah, there's this lamppost here and that there and the sign will be exactly here. And you know, the cost of pulling out a surveyor to do that sort of thing.
Who pays the surveyor? You do, I presume.
Dublin City Council would pay for anything. And then there's a €100 registration fee. So for the first year, register, there's €100. So you're immediately talking about €730. And then there's on top of that, which again, I don't know what sort
okay,
of
your, your phone. Your phone keeps dropping as if someone is trying to ring through. Stay there for a sec here. On Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thank you.
What happened to you in the sandwich board?
Yeah, a good few years ago, Joe, I was going along with the umbrella, wind, rain, and I went down like a log, fell over one of these boards that had fallen over and was on the sidewalk on the path.
Yeah.
Witnesses saw it, tried to help me. Taken to the hospital by ambulance and had broken my ankle in many places.
And who, do you know, do you remember who owned the sandwich board? Who was it advertising or what was it advertising?
Oh, yeah, no, I won't say the name.
Yeah, but what was it?
Outside the restaurant.
A restaurant, okay.
In town.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the umbrella. It was, you know, one of those wild nights.
Yeah.
This is a problem. You see, they don't come out to pick them up when they've fallen over. And the older people and even kids, whatever. I was quite well able to walk, but I didn't see it on the ground.
And did you try and inquire as to what the liability was?
What do you mean by that, Joe?
In other words, who paid, did you make a claim for your medical?
Oh,
you broke your ankle.
Yeah, I don't know if it was luckily or not, but it was witnessed by several people. It was around that area. And so being the fact that it was broken and, you know, it took along. But it's what I suffered afterwards, Joe. You know, 6 weeks in a cast.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Arthritis to be set in the ankle. I wasn't old, but I wasn't young either. And every time I see them now, I shiver because I actually, if I'm in my local area, I go in and I say, if you don't pick that up, somebody's going to sue you because they're going to fall over it.
And,
you know?
And who did you pursue, Siobhan? Was it the restaurant?
The owners of the restaurant.
The owners, okay. And did they admit liability?
It was witnesses. I mean, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, no, but sometimes they say, oh, it wasn't us. The corporation gave us permission to put it out there and they try and offload liability
to
someone else.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that, Siobhan. Have you been
just
in Dublin?
A warning to others, actually.
Have you been in Dublin City Centre lately, Siobhan?
Not in the last 6 months.
Okay, well, apparently it's got much worse. Thanks, Siobhan. 51551.
You're welcome, and thank you, Joe. Enjoy your programme.
You're very
Take
kind.
Care.
Thanks, Siobhan. Kevin O'Rourke. Kevin, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
What's your idea?
Well, I was just thinking that if they took them off the pavement and they hung them on the wall of their shops, of their premises. Now, I don't agree with her with the charge. I think the rates, they pay enough money. Mm-hmm. But I just think that if they took them off the path and put them on the wall of their building, because I walk a lot from Condy Station to the Matter nearly every month.
Okay.
And they really are all over the place, especially in the morning.
The sandwich boards.
Yeah, advertising coffee shops and whatever.
Can I jump in, please?
Pardon?
Yeah, come
can
in.
I jump in there?
Yeah, right. Come in, Kieran. Say there, Kevin.
I think I mentioned I have a doorway, literally a doorway, probably about a metre across less. I have nowhere to put the sign.
Yeah. So you couldn't hang it anywhere? Well, you wouldn't be allowed.
Couldn't hang
you?
It anywhere.
Well, I mean, look, I appreciate that there's areas that you can't hang it, that maybe it has to go on the path, but there are absolutely hundreds, and there are some buildings that could facilitate them hanging off the wall, mm-hmm. and it would clear up the street a small bit, because Talbot Street and North Earl Street and O'Connell Street are absolutely inundated with these sandwich boards. They really are. And I totally agree with the person who was talking about if you have a disability, if you're blind or in a wheelchair or something like that, it would be a nightmare. It's just an idea. If it can't be done, it can't be done. But I would just prefer them taken off the street, put on the wall, and let people make their way.
Thanks, Kevin. Kieran, do you object to the whole idea, or the fact that the corporation have simply decided they want to monetize it, they want to make money out of it?
Yeah, I think I said early on, I think there is merit to the idea of making sure they're in the right place, they're taken care of, they're not a danger, the street is suitable to take care of them, that sort of thing. But the outright, it's a blanket, you know, kind of charge. And even how they did it, where they're just saying, oh yeah, there's no one responsible who you can talk to, who you could ask, you know, questions about or get in touch with, or, you know, there was no kind of feedback from the community about how this would affect us. I don't even know where they come up with the figure of 630. I don't know how, like, what is that related to, where their breakdown of charges on that or something.
But, what are your rates anyway?
Sorry?
Well, you pay rates, you pay business rates, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
And do you pay the extra levy in Dublin for the Dublin City Centre Businessman's Association or Business Persons Association?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's included there, isn't it?
Okay, Suzanne, what do you think of Kieran's complaining about the charge, €630 a year?
Yeah, I don't know the background to how they came up with it, but I think the point has been made by other people on Twitter that works out at around €2 a day. So if businesses are saying that the sandwich boards bring in business, then is it not worth €2 a day? That's less than a cup of tea or coffee.
Yeah, but my point is, why does it have to be that much money? Have to be a blanket charge on everyone irregardless? Why could it not be, look, you know, if these conditions that you have to meet in order to put your sign out, if they're in breach, then we'll fine you or whatever, that's fine. Some people might say, look, on this stretch of street, you're not allowed to put out a sign at all. I understand that if it's reasonable, if they explain it to me. But it's the blanket charge, and the way that there's no one there to talk to, there's no discussion about it. It was just, we're doing it right now, and we're going off on holiday, and you've no one to talk to about this. That was how they're implementing it is very ham-fisted and negative to the city.
Okay, 1857 15 Brian Montague from the Winding Stair Group. That's the bookshop and restaurant there at the Ha'penny Bridge. Very, very famous and very well regarded. Brian, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. What do you think of this new charge?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot of money to people, €680 or whatever it is. But, you know, as I was saying in my text in, Joe, for most small businesses, they would have to do €7,000 of sales to make enough profit to pay for that. And for a lot of small businesses in city centre, small shops, small coffee shops, etc., that's probably a week's business.
Wow.
So, you know, put it in that context. Somebody was saying it's two euros a week or whatever. You know, for a business to have to give up effectively a week of their profitability for Dublin City Council. Now, the reality is this is on top of rates, levies by Dublin City, which is a quango that kind of does, you know, stuff for Dublin City Council in the town. It's on top of our bin charges. It's on top of...
What do you get from Dublin City Council for your rates? You don't get waste collection.
You don't get waste collection.
Do you pay extra for water? Is that included?
You get the right to run a business. That's all you get. You get the right to have your business. You know.
I'll rephrase the question, Brian. What services do you get from Dublin City Council for their high rates and now their desire to introduce more taxes through the sandwich board tax?
There isn't a service that we receive from Dublin City Council that we don't pay additionally for on top of our rates. So the rates are, you know, the intention of the rates are to pay the overall cost of running the city. And of course, you know, you'd say, well, you know, what we get for our rates is that there are roads and streetlights and all of those kind of things. So all of that stuff is paid for by the rates, and we all benefit from that, and we're all happy to contribute to that. You know, it's about part of being part of a good, well-run city. So we get that. But, you know, when you've got all these charges additional on top of that, if I put some street furniture outside my restaurant, and you know where we are there on the corner of Liffey Street and Woolen Mills, and we've lots of lovely street furniture outside, and we pay, you know, around about 12,000 or 13,000 a year just to put some tables and chairs outside.
€1,000 a month?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, at least.
What do they call that? The sunshine tax, if you put a chair or a table outside.
Yeah.
You'll pay...
And it's, you know, who sits in the council and has a sufficient understanding of the economics of small restaurants in the city centre that they think that that's an appropriate charge? And the only reason people put them out is, frankly, you'll never make enough business of it in itself, but it gives some distinction to your restaurant. That's why people do it. But it's a hell of a charge, isn't it, Joe, just to get some attention to your small business?
Stay there. Nikki wants to make a point. Nikki, your point, please.
Joe, I'm a blind person. I'm a guide dog owner.
Okay.
I have to say that I don't really agree with these business owners. I agree with the charge. I don't care how much it's going to cost. Originally, the space outside your restaurant and the space outside any street is a footpath, and it's meant to be for people who want to walk on it.
Right.
And the problem is, when you put obstacles and chairs and lovely furniture and everything else, you're taking up some of that space. And who's going to be responsible if somebody falls over these things, if they're using a long cane, if a guide dog can't navigate somebody around, if they end up bumping into them? You're inside working in your restaurant, and you can't be responsible for what's going on outside. So obviously the council has to put a fee there and put a tax on you for having these things there, because they might have to deal with somebody like me who trips up over these things.
And can your guide dog not manoeuvre around obstacles?
The dog will manoeuvre around anything that it's safe to manoeuvre around, Joe, provided, as I'm going to say, that there's nothing else in the way. So there could be another bike stuck to a railing or something as well, or there could be somebody trying to get along with a pram, or there could be endless amount of things. I mean, the dog can only do so much, and it depends on how wide the path is. We also have, in certain areas, bicycle lanes on footpaths. So footpaths are becoming more eroded in terms of what they were meant for. They're meant for foot passengers, you know. And nowadays we just see opportunities for more and more obstacles.
Yeah, but Nikki, you would have come across as an obstacle, I presume, the forest of... aluminium poles put up by Dublin City Council announcing ramps.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, no, you're just talking about furniture and about sandwich boards and stuff like that, which a lady said earlier can fall over, and nobody can stop that from happening. And that's why I think they're, you know, poles, unfortunately, they won't fall on top of you. But I agree, they shouldn't be sometimes placed where they're placed either. But we can't exactly move a pole every now and again, but we can regulate more the people who are putting out, like, sandwich boards, whatever the furniture, which tends to be more kind of, you know, static, and people tend to kind of sit there, and some people might tell you, look, you to walk around them and guide you around. But the sandwich boards still happen to be the worst things, because they can just fall over, or they're not tended to every 5 minutes, because people don't have time to tend to them. They're inside.
Sorry, Nikki.
Okay.
Nikki, sorry. I run the Clockwork Door. It's right here in the city centre the Liffey Bridge. I would invite you to come to me and let's discuss it, and I will do anything I can to make my sign more noticeable, more aware, and more helpful to anyone with vision impairment or anyone, you know, who needs assistance getting around the city. I will do whatever I can to make my sign convenient for you. But please,
you may be one person who would, but I don't think everybody would have that attitude. And you see, it's like making a sign for
people to slow down and have speeding fines. Yeah, the majority of people will work and cooperate, but there'll be certain people who just won't. And
well, look, that's like, the thing. We can put in the regulation that you have to do this or that, whatever, to your sign, put a bell on it, or whatever.
Who's going to be able to police that every day? Who's going to be able to go around every single day from Dublin City Council or from wherever? It's still taking up room on footpaths.
Nicky, you know, I absolutely agree with you that this needs to be strongly regulated, and, you know, I would be a strong supporter of ensuring that the city is as disabled friendly as possible. So yes to regulation, yes to these things being managed in an appropriate way, but why a levy? Dublin City Council police the city regularly anyway. You know, they inspect everything around the city. If you put out, you know, if I have a license for 10 chairs and I put out one chair more, I can tell you I will get a letter from Dublin City Council. I won't get many letters from them encouraging me to do things, but I get lots of, you know, you can get lots of letters from
you
them.
You get lots of penalty letters.
I don't know why the amount I would have thought it might be to prevent any accidents. I presume if somebody falls in a footpath, Dublin City Council are going to have to be liable for the fact that person tripped over something.
Legally, the responsibility also falls, and primarily falls, on the shop owner. So, you know, when I get a license, as I do, to put out street furniture, I'm also required to pay rates on that to the council for the extra space I'm taking up, and to have public liability insurance for it. And there is no reason why, as part of the regulation for sandwich boards, that there would be definitions in terms of size, location, that the council would be able to tell you whether you could or not, because, as you rightly say, some footpaths just are not wide enough to contain them. And there should be and could be a requirement for there to be public liability insurance in place for that. All of those things are sensible and reasonable, and they all help us partner.
Well, Brian, are you going to put out a sandwich board on September 4th on the Winding Stairs? Are you going to bite the bullet and not put it out?
We haven't decided yet, Joe, but I think I'm going to take them in.
Are you?
You know, and we're pretty lucky because we have a big, prominent corner there. You know, we're the Will and Mills restaurant there. It's a big, prominent corner. So, you know, as some of your other callers who have smaller premises in the city centre, the sandwich board isn't as vitally important to us. It's a nice thing to do, and it's a nice way to put up special offers and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to pay Dublin City Council that
month. Okay, so more people want to come in on this after the break. 51551 joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. Do you see the main story in the UK now is that a policeman, Andrew Harper, attending a burglary in Thames Valley, has been murdered by the burglars. They drove along, hit him with a car, dragged him for a distance, and then he was hit by another car. And that's causing widespread conversation and outrage in the UK. Another burglary, as we have a lot of them here, but the burglars this time have not claimed property, they've claimed the life of a young policeman who was due to get married next week, believe it or not. But condolences to his family. Alexis Donnelly. Alexis, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Sandwich boards, Alexis, yes or no?
Alexis Donnelly, yes. And I don't like sandwich boards on pavements, because I'm a wheelchair user and I find them terribly obstructive.
And what's the worst? Are you in Dublin, Alexis?
Yeah. Okay. I'm in Dublin, and Temple Bar is a particular hazardous place, because the pavements are narrow, and the only alternative that you've got, namely, you know, rolling on the street, it's all cobbles.
Yeah, horrific, so, for people. And
it's just too much. I carefully note the establishments that do put out sandwich boards, and I make a point of not patronising them, and telling friends also not to patronise for that reason. I don't see why they can't say, if they're a restaurant, why they can't have a blackboard up on the wall outside or even maybe hanging down from a reasonable height.
Alexis, have you ever knocked into one of them?
I have, yeah. My chair is, it's a powered chair.
Yeah.
And so you're left with bruises and grazes on your ankles. And the board sometimes falls over, and if it does, I just keep driving.
Have you ever had no choice but to knock into one of them? Do you follow me?
Yeah. Temple Bar is just the perfect example, because not only is the alternative cobbles, but you can't easily get down onto the street because there aren't that many curb cuts.
Good point. And you have to
back out then. You have to go back all the way to the street corner.
And I'm trying to imagine in my head, and most people can, the Temple Bar footpaths are very narrow. They're actually quite high off the cobblestones, aren't they, in places?
Yep.
So if you if one of your wheels tipped over...
Oh, you're gone.
And has it happened?
Not to me, no.
Because you'd be flung out of your wheelchair. It's a horrific thought.
Yeah, you would.
Okay, you say it hasn't happened to you. Do you know people who it has happened to?
I know, of one. It's two steps away from me. It's a person who knows someone I know.
Yeah.
And it broke the wheel on the chair.
And also the occupant of the chair would get some shock, wouldn't you?
Sure did.
Yeah. And Alexis, how long have you been in the wheelchair?
Oh, I've been in the wheelchair for 17 years, I'd say.
And is that from birth?
No. Neurological condition.
Okay.
So
stay there, Alexis, please. Let me bring Lily Lynch. Lily, 51551. Lily, you're in a disabled spot where you have to park. What's happened?
Yes, my husband is disabled and I'm the driver. He's a disabled passenger. And occasionally I take him to Malahide. And along the main street there, there's one disabled bay, which we're normally lucky enough to get. But as you're getting out, I can get out because I'm on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three sandwich boards there. And if he didn't have me to help him out, he couldn't get out because these boards are nearly slap up on top of the, you know, just nearly at the edge of the pavement. And every time I go out, I keep saying, I should go into those stores and cause a bit of a hassle. But then I say, oh, to hell with it. I'm sure I'm not the only one that comes out here that doesn't have the same problem. It'd be worse for somebody in a wheelchair. How would they get out?
And you actually get out and physically move them, so your husband
can... Oh, I do, yes. And I move them very angrily.
Yeah. But you throw them to one side?
Yeah.
Well, they normally collapse if you throw them.
I don't let them collapse, Joe.
Yeah.
And if I did, I'd pick them up.
Fair play to you. And by the way, sandwich boards are a giveaway in that they identify the business, obviously.
Yeah.
So would you say to the business, listen, you're putting your sandwich boards right at the disabled spot. I have to get out of the car and help someone else out.
Yeah, I haven't been out in Malahide now in a couple of weeks. But I keep saying, the next time I'm out there, I'm going to go into those premises and say, you know, what are you playing at? People in wheelchairs can't get out, you know, because they just couldn't manage.
Well, I wonder, is Fingal County Council, or Fingal County Council looks after Malahide, are they going to introduce the €630 tax on sandwich board? Because the aim, Ciarán, the aim is to stop you putting them out, is it? Or the aim is to make money?
I would feel very much the aim is to make money. Just the way they're implementing it, the way they're going about it, it's not kind of trying to regulate them. Because if you have the money, you can have it. You know, you can put out 10 of them if you have the money. So it's not about stopping them. It's about getting some more money out of people and saying they're dealing with a problem. Because, of course, they're going to cut down the number of signs that are out in the street. But a much more intelligent way to go about it would be to say, to kind of survey the streets and say, look, which signs are causing problems? Now, there was that gentleman, I can't remember his name, he was having difficulty in Temple Bar on his wheelchair.
Alexis,
yes. Yeah. I think that problem is to do with Temple Bar as it is. It's a very old quarter of the street, and the cobblestone are not designed to be wheelchair accessible, which is terrible, and I sympathise. I don't want that to happen. And again, if the pavements are too narrow, of course a sign should not be out there. But when the path is plentiful wide for a sign and for all the people to go up and down, I can't see a problem with that.
Okay. Well, by the way, Ciarán, and indeed Brian, who was on a few minutes ago. But Ciarán, like, were you consulted about this, or did you have any previous hassle, or did the council?
No, I've had no hassle. I've never had a problem with my board. No one says they knocked into my board. From where I sit on the reception desk, basically, I see the board. You know, for every hour that we're operating, and if it ever falls over, first thing I do, I'm down there in 10 seconds to pick it up. I make sure it's not in anyone's way. It's not a hassle to anyone. And I just can't see the point of charging us, whereas it's not going to it's not going to be the culprit of causing someone difficulty here.
Okay.
Now, there's a few people who are going to really suffer from this. We have a guy who comes in to spray paint our sign to do the designs on it. He's going to lose his job. Not with us, but, you know, all around the city, everyone he works with. They're, you know, he's not going to have enough clients to keep it up. We're probably going to cut down on staff if we get the hit that we're expecting from losing our signs.
And do you have to pay extra an insurance premium if you put out a sandwich board, given what a number of callers have said?
So. If this comes in and we have to get a permission for it, we'll have to talk to our insurance company and say, look, there's also a sign now that needs public liability. At the moment, I think that's all included. So it's you know, I think everyone who's been on the show today who has a sign or is on the defending the signs part, we all agree that there are certain signs in certain areas where they should not be. None of us want to inconvenience someone with, you know, mobility issues or with sight issues or anything like that. We want to work with them. We want to be as thoughtful and careful about it as we can. But some businesses need them. And you're going to be shutting down the city or hurting a lot of the city so that, you know, people don't want to come to the city when these small and interesting and cute businesses aren't here anymore.
Okay. Points well made by both sides. Ciarán Hogan, Lily Lynch, yeah. Alexis. But it's interesting, Ciarán, I presume Dublin City Council who put up most of the signs in the city, take photographs, stand on any junction, there's 7, 8, 9, 10 signs that could easily be on one or two poles rather than 10 separate poles. That's Dublin City Council. They must have won a million of those aluminium poles and they're determined to put them up everywhere. They, to me, are as big a hazard to visually impaired people and their ugly street furniture as well. Okay, Ciarán Hogan, Lily Lynch, Alexis Donnelly, Nicky, Brian, Kevin, Siobhan, Suzanne, 51551.